MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting with Rami Hajar, he's fund manager at the Africa XSA Equity Fund at Allan Gray. Rami, appreciate the time today. I suppose let's kick off. Inflation on the rest of the continent. We're talking Africa excluding SA. How are we seeing inflation and impact on markets and to the rest of the continent?
Okay, so I think it's important first to distinguish between two types of inflation. Mm-hmm. There's the demand pull inflation, which normally comes when growth is strong, and then there's the cost push inflation, which follows a supply shock. And what we're seeing today is a cost push inflation following a global supply shock that's leading to a jump in food and energy mm-hmm. prices. The problem with this type of inflation is that local central banks have less capacity to deal with it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, higher prices are leading to lower purchasing power, so lower demand and lower growth. So that's one impact. Another impact is that central banks are forced to raise interest rates just to keep pace with developed markets and to manage inflation expectations. Higher rates, also meaning tighter monetary policy, is also leading to lower growth. But there's one more aspect that's very important, especially in Africa XSA and in other emerging markets, is that inflation is also putting pressure on the budget. And how? It's because a lot of the governments subsidize basic commodity goods, such as in Africa, especially like bread, flour, maize, petrol prices. As price of those has gone up substantially, now the governments are faced with two choices, either keep subsidizing and that comes at the cost of the budget, or let prices go up. And that comes obviously with a risk that has a lot of political implications, let me say. And yeah. We're seeing that today in Sri Lanka. We've seen that historically in Egypt. And other countries are at risk. We're seeing that also in other frontier markets. In India, we've seen that. In Ghana, we're seeing that. In Tunisia, we're seeing everywhere sort of riots happening because of inflation.
Yeah, I take that. I actually hadn't thought of that. Of course, a lot of those subsidies, as you said, it puts pressure on the budget and puts the government between a rock and a hard place. The risk to emerging market economies, I mean, there's a lot of talk out there around potential recessions in developed markets. We had two negative GDP quarters from the US. We won't delve into whether that is or isn't a recession, but Bank of England's worried about the UK, for example. That must pose a risk to emerging markets generally, particularly into the rest of the continent.
Sure. So I would say in general, yes, the slowdown or recession in developed markets will cause a slowdown in emerging markets. But to be more specific, I would say it depends because some emerging markets are already growing strongly. So they're coming off a high growth base. Those emerging countries, including some of the African ones, will not necessarily fall into a recession as technically defined. Some of them also are benefiting from the high commodity price environments.
Yeah.
Those that are commodity exporters of the commodities that are seeing a rally. On the other hand, you have vulnerable countries that are coming off a low growth base or are more exposed to trade with developed markets or are net commodity importers. Those will surely suffer more. But actually, what I worry about more than the growth aspect is that many countries are looking vulnerable from a debt perspective. And the current environment of tighter global monetary conditions, lower risk appetite, higher rates, depreciating currencies is putting a lot of these countries in Africa and outside Africa at high risk of debt distress. And then debt crises, if they occur, are normally associated with a much more severe downturn than a regular global-induced growth slowdown. So we're seeing that already in Sri Lanka today, and other countries are at risk.
Yeah, I see that. The recession, it'll be dependent on, as you say, different economies responding differently. Mm-hmm. But debt perhaps is the bigger issue. Well, you mentioned currencies as well, and certainly we're seeing some currency weakness in the rest of the continent. And you know, it's going to, again, I imagine, be pockets that are experiencing different types of currency impact. But generally, that currency weakness, is that concerns around debt? Is that more perhaps just around dollar strength?
It's a few things. First of all, it's a pressure on the balance of payments that many countries are experiencing. Mm. So that it's a deteriorating trade balance, meaning rising import bills that have drained hard currency reserves in many countries. So fundamentally speaking, this means lower supply of foreign exchange in the country, while the demand for foreign exchange at best has remained the same, but in actual terms, in many countries, it has gone up because you have also some countries have seen a lot of foreign investors exiting. Now, that's one impact. The other impact is an important one is a reversal of what we call the carry trade, where investors seek higher yield investments in riskier countries because of low yield at home. So that's also been impacting currency, and obviously there is sentiment always at play. And today, risk aversion, and sometimes if a country is deemed to have a low capacity to deal with the shock, investors lose confidence in the local currency. And the worst form of that is a self-fulfilling attack on a currency leading to a currency collapse. Example, Sri Lanka and other countries as well are seeing this sort of dynamic.
And you mentioned sentiment, and we've talked in the last couple of minutes around challenges facing the rest of the continent, and there are some, and they are absolutely real. But I'm imagining there's the other side of the coin, and in fact, there's probably some really good opportunities for an investor for such as your fund.
I mean, there's always plenty of good quality companies with solid fundamentals, especially in the Africa universe. The valuations today, where they stand, and especially if we compare them to developed markets, are at a very depressed level, and so which makes me, given the quality of the companies we own, let's talk about the Allan Gray Fund. The quality of the companies we own, we generally invest in companies that are insulated against such downturns, such volatility that we're seeing today. That makes me very excited about the medium term to long run returns in our universe and specifically in our fund.
Yep, I'd take that point. Even in darkest times, there's opportunity. And your point around valuations, the S&P's back to its long-term average valuation. And that to me is a bit of a head scratcher. We'll leave it there. Rami Hijab, fund manager at Africa XSA Fund at Allan Gray. Really appreciate the time. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.